Shalom. We're on Piska Kaf Dalid in Rav Kook's commentary on the Agadotot, on the stories, on the philosophy of the rabbis in the Talmud. And today we're continuing what we started last time. Last time we saw, the Gemara tells us that the city of Sodom lasted for 52 years. Lot was looking for a new city where there is less sins. We spoke about, Rav Kook writes about this at length. So he went to Tzoar. Then the rabbis figure out, regarding Sodom, right, that it lasted 52 years. V'shel Sodom, 52. V'shel Vata, 26. Sodom had 26 years of quiet out of 52 years. Dichtiv, the Gemara does the math. Shtei Mesrei Shana avdu et Kedar LaOmer. The people of Sodom served Kedar LaOmer, who was the king from the north, for 12 years. Shlosh Esrei Shana Maradu. They rebelled for 13 years. That's 25 years. Ubarba Esrei Shana ba Kedar LaOmer v'chulei. Rashi explains, look at the bottom. Chavav dichtiv shteim asrei shana avdu ve'enze shalva ve'shlosh asrei maradu enzo shalva shayu ben milchamot hari 25 shanim ushnat 26 nerag gedar la'omer v'ayta b'shalva 26 hanotarim y'52. In other words, after 25 years of war, being subjective, and afterwards war. In the 26th year, Kedar LaOmer was killed, and then there were 26 years of quiet, 26 years of subjugation and war, 26 years of quiet. That's what happened to the 52 years. Okay, seems pretty innocent. Let's see Rav Kook. For those who noticed last week that Rav Kook was showed a new style that we here in Einaya hadn't seen yet, we'll see the same style again today. For
26, 24. Doing math, you mean?
Yeah, but it's not doing math based on gematria, but based on, I don't know if to call it philosophy, but a logical way of explaining the numbers. Okay? Last week he touched on gematria. Today he'll also touch on gematria, but it's gematria which is connected directly with logic.
What's
as we'll
funny
see.
About this, about the numbers, is that the shalva should be the later thing. You would expect that they would have a chance at first, and then it would get worse.
Interesting, Davka. What Rav Kook is about to say, that sheds an interesting light on what he's going to say. I didn't think of that.
Okay.
No, you'll see it as Rav Kook says it. I just realize now that that's also an interesting point. Okay. Midat ha-tzedek ha-elyon hi litgalgel im abruim b'chol tzdadei ha-ef. B'chol tzdadei ha-efshar. The way of justice, the godly justice that we've been talking about, remember the city of Sodom was destroyed after 52 years of sin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just zap lightning out of the sky. As we saw last week, there was a long time, a long process, patience. He gave them their time to do tshuva. But they didn't do it. So the idea, when God does justice, he takes into account all of the possible ways of getting people to do tshuva. Ulifamim yehaoni varadifot sibat shiflut ruach ha'adam. Alken yenotel lehara lechabel ulashchit. Sometimes, when things are bad, when somebody is in debt, poor, somebody is being chased, subjected, like the people of Sodom, and that is something which lowers them as people. And it unfortunately can bring out the animalistic or the more basic instincts.
More base.
And more base instinct. And that will get them to be more corrupt than they were in the first place. Ulifamim, on the other hand, again, you're already used to Rav Kook, on the other hand, both sides of the coin. Ulifamim omnam yeh ha'oni vashiflut sibal liyasher derachav. Some people, on the other hand, davka poverty and being subjected will bring them to humility, will bring them to do tshuva, to start examining their ways. Maybe I've been spending too much time on my money or on physical pleasures or things like that. Haughtiness, arrogance, right? When a person is on top, you can forget God that much easier. Ulachnia rucho elat tzedek v'aderech hayishara. And again, the bottom line is God wants us to be good. He wants us, as he tells Avram in Parshat HaShavuot, lasot tzedek u'mishpat, tzedakah u'mishpat. God founded the Jewish people in order to do justice and righteousness in the world, to teach the world morality and justice, and whatever is going to bring us there is good. And by the way, this is something to remember when we educate our children, that chosech shivto sonebno, sometimes, especially in the modern world, the direction in general is to give positive reinforcement and to limit the negative reinforcement. And Rav Kook is saying, sometimes you need this and sometimes you need that. Some children need 60-40, others need 40-60. And you always have to be, have to have your hand on the pulse to know what's good for which of the child. And you might even have identical twins who one needs this and the other needs that, or more of this and less of that. And on any given day, you might overdo this or might underdo that. In other words, there is a time for midat ha-din, and there is a time for midat ha-rachamim. There is a time to give the carrot, and there is a time to threaten. And this is something we spoke about before, even something as basic as exile, galut. When the Torah and the Tochecha talks about exile, God, it's an obvious question, right? Why, if God wants us in the land of Israel, so why does he send us to exile if we do wrong? What does he gain from it? Or obviously he doesn't gain. What do we gain from it? We only lose. All right, when we're in exile, we don't have the temple. We don't have the sacrifices. We don't have prophecy. We don't have the miracles. We don't have ready hashkacha pratit. So what do we gain from it? Maybe, and the answer is that God did not mean to carry out that threat. Like almost all parents, when you threaten a child, you really don't. Under any circumstances, you definitely don't want to carry out the threat. But after a while of threatening and threatening and threatening, eventually you have no choice. Right? And here also, everybody prefers midat ha-rachamim. I know even some, I'm marking final exams for them, one of the colleges where I teach now. And one girl last night, I don't know if she has a learning disability, it's a large class, so I don't know her personally. She just doesn't know the material. It just feels bad, I thought. I couldn't give her more than a 66. I mean, maybe that's what she's used to. But maybe it will get her to spend more time on the paper next time or whatever. But sometimes you need... It's not good for the person to have mercy when you need to... They have to learn to buckle down. And that's exactly what we have here. How are the 52 years of Sodom divided? Rav Kook notices it's 26-26. That's not a coincidence. Now, if we'll add on that what Yehoshua mentioned, that Dafka the 26 of the punishment, if somebody's really bad, your first reaction, at least in our world, that's the way things run, is that's when you... Yeah, but you threaten him. In other words, first, he's already bad. To give him positive reinforcement, there's nothing positive there. So first, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the natural step, was to punish in Sodom. Also remember, we're not talking about somebody who doesn't go to sleep on time or doesn't do their homework. We're talking about very, very serious immorality. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him 26 years of being subjected to Kedar LaOmer and rebelling. Didn't work. He tries 26 years of shalva, of a high standard of living.
26 years, the first 26 years was why reform school.
Great question. I understand that this is the Rav Kooks on the other hand, as in maybe they're being bad because they are too oppressed, or maybe they're being bad because they're not sufficiently oppressed, right?
And we're trying both.
Okay, yeah. But why try the punishment first? As in, if you go the sort of, let's say, the modern friendly analysis, you'd say, well, first you have to reach out, be loving.
Right, nice, that's if you're starting from zero. But as I said before, the people of Sodom were already bad. They were already in a strong negative.
If you need to incentivize someone to change their ways, you never started from zero.
And apparently, they started in the negative. In other words, when they're starting in the negative, if they would have had something good, maybe he would have tried that. But if there's nothing really good, we don't see anything good there. And apparently, that's why I started with the positive. It's a good question, but I think that must be the answer.
Machiavelli says, when you become a, when somebody starts his rule, the first thing is to establish the power, establish the stick, and then you can ease up. And the habil,
and the opposite doesn't work.
When people need to be governed, so the first thing that Kadosh Baruch Hu does is to hit them hard, and then after they've been hit hard. Maybe they'll catch on, and maybe you can let up.
Yeah. But notice, by the way, our topic is directly connected with one of the most basic questions in Jewish philosophy, in world philosophy, in any religious philosophy, that of Rasha V'Tovlo. That why is it good? Sometimes evil people are having a good, and they're on top. And Rav Kook here is explaining in this situation, he already tried the punishment, and it didn't work. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in killing somebody, in taking away their free will, in just sending them down to hell. He wants to give them a chance. It didn't work in this way, so he tries then having the positive way. But that's not forever, right? Eventually that also runs out.
But it's also, I was saying, it's genuine as well. It's not that Kadosh Baruch Hu is just giving them, let's say, a few years of... You can say that the person has a ta'ana, and they come and say, well, I didn't do mitzvot because I was poor. So so Kadosh Baruch Hu then gives them a few years of being wealthy or whatever, so they haven't got the ta'ana anymore. Rav Kook's saying that the way he's saying it's genuine here, that there are people that really genuinely can't fulfill their mitzvot and their obligations to other people when they are taru, that they're involved with difficult circumstances in life. And when they're freed up, they do become different.
Right. And this is something that we've seen many times in the past, that many times that Rav Kook talks about natural ramifications. In other words, reward and punishment is not something detached from the action. But the bottom line is God wants us to better our ways. And the whole punishment is only there to help us better our ways. Also, reward is only there to help us better our ways. The Mesilat Yesharim, the Ramchal Mesilat Yesharim, in Perek Aleph, talks about how the whole world, he calls it a test. It's nisyonot. Rav Kook doesn't use the word nisyonot, but it's he would call it nudges. Something to help us in the right direction. Just write the words and say the words of the Ramchal. V'nei samo HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'adam b'makom sh'rabim bo amarchikim oto mimenu yidbarach. There are many things in the world which further distance a person from God. V'heme matavot achomriyot asherim imashech achareim hineyo mitrachek v'olech min hatov amiti. Person gets involved into the physical pleasures, it takes him away, it distances him from God. In Perek 30 of Proverbs, Pen ezba v'chichashti v'amarti mi'ashem, upeni varesh v'ganavti v'chule. In other words, it's not easy to be wealthy. It's not easy to be poor. And if you remember last year, we saw a Pisca where Rav Kook talks about Davka, the problems of wealth. And that even though in the Western world everyone would prefer to volunteer for the challenge of wealth, if we're already going to get a challenge, the Ramchal also writes that that is a more difficult challenge, a challenge that most people fail. What's the kunst, though, of calling it a challenge? The Ramchal goes on to say that if you know that it's a challenge, or your first reaction is, how can I spend my whole life under pressure, right? This is a test, that's a test, this is a test. I can't, everywhere I go, I have to be on my best behavior. That's one way of looking at it. On the other hand, there's a teacher, Michlala, who I heard this from several students, and afterwards I passed on the tip to several other students who were going to be interviewed by this person. And for those watching at home, you can now get a good tip if you ever want to be accepted to Michlala. I don't know if I should say the name of the person who does it, but in one of the machlakot, what he does on the interview, he tries to abuse the person, to embarrass them, right? This is the way you come to an interview, this is the way you dress, or if you answer a question, that was a pretty stupid answer, and he tries to put you down, and he wants to see your reaction, right? Which, I'm not saying it's a good idea or not a good idea, but one thing's for sure. If you get tipped off, and before you go into the interview, you know exactly that's what he's going to do, you're prepared, and you know that you're going to keep your cool, because it's all a test, right? And the same thing also regarding whether a person be in the shalva, in the 26 years of good, or the 26 years of bad, or there are ups and downs in life. If you know that it's for your benefit, everything is for our benefit, and you should utilize it that way, in that way.
You will look at it as all being the same.
Yeah, and also accept what we call good or what we call bad, and remember that it's all good, that it's all for the good. Alkin, Gilgalah Hashkacha HaElohit, Ed Matzavam Shel Eile HaChataim HaOmdim L'Nes. Right, these people who... they're not just a group of people who, like all of us, our father sometimes has to discipline, reward, punishment. But we're talking about people of Sodom, A, who are super bad. B, their story is written for prosperity eternally in the Torah. Right? It's written permanently in the Torah. L'nez l'mashal u'lishnina. As an example, as an eternal example, le'ot libnei Mary, as a sign to what happens regarding rebellious children. Notice, even the people of Sodom, Rav Kook is calling rebellious children. B'shnei hatzdadim b'shaveh. Notice, God gave them 26 years of this and 26 years of that. U'kefi orech midat kufatam hamugbelet. He tried both options. But these people, whatever God gave them, they chose bad. And that is the problem of bad people. That no matter what gives them, if they're always choosing bad, what can you do with them? There just are no conditions in life, right? There's nothing that's going to fix these people. And that is when, I don't know, we don't know, by God, there's no before and after, but as if it were, at this stage, God decided, okay, these people I'm going to put in the beginning of the Torah. It's at the beginning, as an example of how I run the world.
We're not saying here that there's a distinction between the environment causing problem or restricting you from doing something. In other words, it's not the environment that causes you to be good or bad, but your environment can restrict you from behaving the way you would do naturally if you were unaffected by your environment. So,
yeah. Or in other words,
as he says here, there's no condition which is going to make them be this or that. But even by removing the surrounding environment, which you could say is causing, is restricting them, they didn't change. So it unveiled the fact that they are really evil.
Yeah. On the other hand, Rav Kook doesn't get into here. I'm just saying parenthetically that we know that there is idea of Gilgul Neshamot, of reincarnation, of coming back for a second try or a third try, and starting out with a new slate. Okay, but we're not going to get into that.
Tremendous escape clause for parents and teachers if God himself can't do better.
Maybe sometimes we have to know that we make mistakes and that the children that we raise... Banim gadalti veramamti vem pashubi. Alken nidonu bichliya. And that is when the people of Zdom were judged to be eradicated. Hafuch rishaim ve'inam. And this is a classic case where Rav Kook takes a very innocent pasuk in Mishlei. And he says, well, this pasuk is exactly what I'm trying to point out. Hafuch reshaim, you take bad people, you try it this way, and you try it that way, and no matter what you turn them, if they're really bad, ve'inam. And that's the time that it comes to wipe them out. Right?
That could also be...
Rav Kook does this all the time.
That could also be people doing tshuva that cease to be reshaim.
Yeah, but that's not what this pasuk is talking about. That's not the people of Sodom, right? No. That the idea of tshuva is always a possibility, right? Ve'im nasim lev ladat ki ein lanu davar muskal b'mikre. Right? If we notice that there is no coincidence in life, as the Dorshei Rishumot say, mikre is the letters rak me Hashem. Right? The word for coincidence in Hebrew is the same letters as everything is from God. It's just from God. Nat'im et mispar 26. The idea that they had 26 years of good and 26 years of bad, hanimtza b'mispar shem Hashem yidbarach b'otiyotav. This is the holiest of names. This is the most important of all numbers in Judaism. Yud ke vav ke comes out to the number 26. Vehu kolel kol hamidot hamunagot mimenu ba'olam. Yudke vavke includes, that is God's very name. Now it is usually associated with midat harachamim, with a mercy, as opposed to Elokim, which is midat hadin, the more justice. On the other hand, it is God's very name. And the reasons why it's more associated with midat harachamim is because God is usually using midat harachamim. Out of the 13 attributes of God, the first is Rachum, Chanun, Erech Hapayim, V'Rav Chesed. On the other hand, Yudke Vavke does represent also the disciplinary side of God. And the Shadal, Davka, one of the great commentaries, who was a great linguist. He was from that generation of Europeans that spoke every nation, every language under the sun. And he points out something interesting with God's name, Yud Ke Vav Ke, that the Yud and He, in every language in the world, he writes, this guy who knows a lot of languages, is an expression of good. Yay! Yeah! Right? On the other hand, Ve, Oy Ve, Vayli L'chisaron Kis, whether in Yiddish, whether in Hebrew, is something which is negative. So also the yeas are from God, and also the veys are from God. Also the 26 years of the shalva, and also the 26 years of subjugation, both periods in the history of Sodom are from Yudke Vavke, are from the same God.
Maybe that's why it was McVeigh who blew up the building in Oklahoma
City. Alken, ben b'shimush hadin shishpia lehem shiflut v'tiruf ha-matzav. Whether we're talking about Shimush Hadin, the Midat Hadin, the justice and the discipline, the 26 years that was supposed to bring them lowliness and humility and to sublime themselves, learn to sublime and control your desires. Right? Bein b'chesed u'gdula shofio alehem. Whether we're talking about the second 26 years of Chesed and Gdullah, where things were good in Sodom, what the Gemara calls Shalva, Bechula Mishtamshu L'Ra'a. These people were a lost cause. Va'alzeh Amru Zal. On this the rabbis teach us, in Masechet Brachot, Gidola nekama shenitana ben shtei otiyot. Is a classic example that just when you think that, okay, I understood, Rav Kook hits you with another beautiful idea. Don't close the books yet. Don't close your notebooks yet. What is the idea? Everybody knows the Gemara in Masechet Brachot and Daf Lamed Gimel that we say in the Shir Shel Yom, the song for Wednesday is Yom Revi'i, Kel Nekamot Hashem, Kel Nekamot Ofia. Chazal tell us that revenge is a great concept because in this Pasuk in the Psalms and the Tehillim, it appears between two names of God, El Nekamot Adonai. Okay, two names of God, and God's vengeance or punishment is in the middle. Now, it's a very famous Gemara, but here Rav Kook points out something, at least that I never noticed before. Ve'amru she'bemilata gedolahi, ki ha'nekama ha'elohit hi mida gedola meshueret letikuna klali. The nekama, the vengeance, is el nekamot Hashem. It's also El, which is Midat Adin, and also the Yud Kei Vav Kei. In other words, God's Nekama usually is associated with vengeance, with punishment. On the other hand, the very Pasuk itself also says, God tries it this way, and He tries it that way. Obviously, like any parent, every person is born into a world of chesed. That's also connected with the question he asked before. Sodom was born into a world of chesed. God started out as a loving father. And He gives us oxygen, and He gives us rain, and He gives us food, and He gives us parents, and He gives us everything. But when the people started blowing it, that's when He had to shift gears. He shifted gears, didn't work. Shifted gears back, also didn't work. Ad Shehaprat ha'avud yegam be'avdo nirkas l'shalshelet ha'klal. Liyot mimenu to'elet l'dorot u'litkufot yavo. Does that mean that it's a lost cause? Those were my words. I shouldn't use those words. Because Rav Kook says, no. There's no such thing as a lost cause. Because when God runs the world, as we saw last time, here He's clearly referring to what we saw in Pisca Kav Gimel, what we learned last week, that even in the worst possible generation, where you have to deal with the toughest hand, like the people of Sodom, what does the 52 years represent? 50 years, as we saw, represents the Yovel. That is considered le'olam, a significant period of time, plus 1 year beforehand, connected with the previous generation, and 1 year afterwards, connected with the following generation. In other words, these people did not grow up in a vacuum.
52 they, is also Ben, by the way, that they're still considered bunny.
Interesting. Maybe that's also connected. Rav Kook doesn't mention that. But the idea is that a person doesn't grow up in a vacuum. And even these bad people, apparently they were raised bad. And obviously God, the just king and the just judge, He knows that very well. That to the extent that a person is a product of his negative education, God knows that very well. On the other hand, He knows that they could have always done tshuva. But He doesn't obliterate them. It's not a lost cause. Why? Because He adds on that year on the other end for the future. That they are connected with the future, that God wants us to learn from them, to learn how serious a punishment could be, to learn not to be like them, and to do tshuva. And everything, I won't repeat everything that we learned last week, but here Rav Kook is connecting with, again, be'avdo nirkas l'shalshelet ha'klal. A reches in modern Hebrew, a ruchsan is a zipper, something that connects, that is connected with, intertwined with what he called last week, the tabaot, the links in the chain of history. And whether we like it or not, Sodom is also a link in human history. And there is what to learn from them, and there is what to learn from how God judges them, has mercy, and in the end does carry out the punishment when need to be.
They're not a lost cause as long as we look from a national perspective, because we learn, because they serve as a lesson.
National and universal, right?
Right. Okay. Oh, yeah.